has two keyboards or three keyboards for work with his hands, and each hand is doing a different rhythm.
Okay, go on there.
And then his feet on the pedals. He could be doing a different rhythm with each foot. Now, that's a difficult thing for people to learn to do, just like to rub your stomach in a circle and pat.
All right, this concludes today's installment of the Mind of Alan Watts MP3 series. We'll have another installment for you next Wednesday at 11. Right now, it's time for Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'm really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll be speaking with Sherry Silk, Executive Director of the Humane Society of Tampa Bay. First, though, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is Fleetwood Mac with a piece called Albatross here on Talking Animals. This is Fleetwood Mac with a piece called Albatross, an animal tune, as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals. My name's Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. For more information about the show and past guests, as well as archives and iTunes podcasts, I invite you to visit our website, talkinganimals.net. In just a few minutes, we'll be speaking with today's guest, Sherry Silk, Executive Director of the Humane Society of Tampa Bay. Conversation, which will not only touch on some of the organization's services and forthcoming events, animal adoption, and on a related note, we'll meet Irving and George, Irving being a Chihuahua, George being an acute black kitten. So we'll find out more about the Humane Society of Tampa Bay and about Sherry when we speak with Sherry Silk in a few moments here on Talking Animals. And as usual, we'll also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.com. I want to quickly, as we always try to hit at least one or two animal news items or announcements. First of all, California's Prop 2 passed, so protecting 20 million animals or so from the horrors and abuses of factory farming, so yay and congrats to them. Also want to tell you about Tampa Bay's third annual Thanks Vegan Feast on Thanksgiving Day, of course, starting about 1:30 p.m. with social stuff. There'll be singer-songwriter Justine Mayo will be performing. And then from 2 p.m. to 5:30, there'll be the actual Thanksgiving dinner. So all are welcome, vegans, vegetarians, non-vegetarians, children, others. And you can just go to vegtampathanksgiving.com for information and to RSVP. Space is limited, so don't miss out on that. All right, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Mitch Hedberg with an unusually brief piece for us called Koalas on today's Comedy Corner here on Talking Animals.
My apartment is infested with koala bears. Infestation ever. Way better than cockroaches. When I turn on the light, a bunch of koala bears scatter. And I don't want them to, you know? I'm like, hey, hold on, fellas. Let me hold one of you.
All right, that is the late, great Mitch Hedberg with a snippet of a piece called Koalas, taken from his album Strategic Grill Locations. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net, where not only all our past programs are archived, but most are now available as podcasts in iTunes. For example, our last show with author John Katz. We also have a link to the Talking Animals MySpace. We're looking for friends, and there's a place to subscribe to our semi-monthly email newsletter, so we can keep you posted on forthcoming guests, program news, and more. That's talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time to speak with today's guest, Sherry Silk, so let me quickly outline a few important details about her. As I mentioned a moment ago, she is the Executive Director of the Humane Society of Tampa Bay, which isn't exactly the new kid on the animal welfare block. It was established in 1912, And Sherry herself isn't exactly a newcomer to animal welfare either. She's been working in that field for the better part of 30 years. And so there's much to discuss and animals to meet that we just alluded to. So let's get started with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf. Let's welcome Sherry Silk to Talking Animals. Welcome, 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 Sherry.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for having our friends here, too, Urban
absolutely. We're going to talk about them and everything. There's so many things I hope to squeeze into our time today. But I guess it might be useful to ask you to first provide just sort of a brief history or overview of the Humane Society of Tampa Bay.
Well, like you said, we're one of the oldest charities in the state of Florida, almost 100 years old, and we're mostly into animal sheltering. That's what we started, but in 2000 we opened a low-cost spay-neuter clinic because we know there's just so many unwanted animals in our community that we can't adopt out as many animals as there are, so we offer low-cost sterilization. And then in 2004, our board of directors decided to go no-kill for space, and what that means is that we only take in the animals that we think we can adopt. We won't take in animals to euthanize because of a space problem. So we've been doing that since 2004, so a lot of people want to come to our doors because they know the animal they turn in will not be euthanized. And then last year, we started a very rigorous transfer program with our partners, Hillsborough County Animal Services, and that's where my little friend Irving came from. They have to do so much euthanasia because they take in so many animals, and every week we drive there, we pick out 30 to 35 animals, bring them back to our shelter, and we adopt them. So we're good partners in that
way. Wow. And what kind of capacity do you guys have then at your facility?
Depending on how many kittens or how many puppies we have, we have usually between 300 and 400 animals at any given time. Again, depending on, you can put a lot of kittens in one cage.
Right,
so,
right.
Right.
Wow. And Sherry, just I guess I'd be curious to hear a little bit about your own background. As I mentioned, you've been in the animal welfare field for nearly 30 years, so maybe you could just give us kind of at least the nickel tour of
I'll give you the nickel tour. I spent most of my career in Detroit at the Michigan Humane Society. For any of your listeners that watch Animal Planet's Animal Cops Detroit, I was on that for several years, which highlighted cruelty to animals. And I'll tell you, that was a good program, I think, but it brought awareness as well as all the other investigator shows about what people do to animals and how shelters rehabilitate them and what the problem is in society of people not valuing animals' lives.
And when did you first hear then of the Humane Society of Tampa Bay?
I was actually working for the ASPCA out of New York, and I was a regional manager, had five states, including Florida. And when I heard that there was an opening, I love working for the A and traveling, but I missed the shelter work of being able to go into a shelter every day and helping animals one-on-one. And so I applied for the job, and I've been here just over a year. I love it. It's a great organization. In Detroit, I had to do a lot of decision-making about which animals had to be euthanized. I really don't have to do that, and I don't miss that at all.
I'll bet. That's a huge difference. Well, let's talk about the Fall Adoption Expo, maybe, as a good place as any to get into the adoption topic specifically. Can you tell us, like, when that is and where and any other details that might be helpful?
It's going to be a week from Saturday, which is November the 15th. We invite you to the fairgrounds, the Florida State Fairgrounds, and if you come in the Orient Road entrance, free parking. The guy there is really great. He's waiving the parking fee for us. And what it is, basically, is in the special events building, we have 46 rescue groups and us as well as animal services with probably over 400 animals looking for homes. So if you're ready to add a dog or a cat to your home, you're going to have such a great selection, every age, size, color, you name it. We have a lot of purebreds that will be there as well as mixed breeds. We're going to actually be closed that day, and we're going to empty out our shelter and move those animals to the fairgrounds. It's a festive atmosphere. It's the only time that I can remember that people are waiting in line to – when we open at 10, by 9 o'clock, people will be lined up to get animals, and it's a great feeling to see people – jazzed up about adopting an animal.
Wow. And so I take it that if someone just sort of strolled in, like I strolled in and said, hey,
adopt this particular dog or cat?
Irving.
Okay,
blanked
Irving.
On Irving's name. How could I? I mean, that's the cutest guy ever. How could you forget his name?
Exactly.
But let's say I walked in and said, you know what? I'd love to adopt Irving. I take it that in the case of this expo, that you fill out your paperwork and you walk away with Irving, or is there a waiting period at all?
I'll tell you what. It is based on which rescue group. For us, in most of the groups, they're already sterilized, had their shots. You're good to go. We're going to package them up for you, and you're going to take him home. some of the smaller rescue groups have you wait 24 or 48 hours. They check on if you're living in an apartment and that type of thing.
Like a background check.
But most of us, the larger organizations, we are happy to place them in homes that day. And if there's empty cages there, that means we'll be able to take more animals from animal services that Monday and save more lives.
Sure, sure. And so are there any other specific activities or events beyond, obviously, the main goal is to adopt as many of these animals out, but are there other educational, other activities that are going on at the expo?
Yes, there will be other vendors as well as, which I'm very excited about, there will be the Vet Association will have a table there, and they're just going to do little mini exams. You know, we do our best at aging animals, but you can go by the vet table and they'll look at their teeth and say, yep, that is a one-year-old dog or whatever it is. There's also going to be two different dog trainers at that location that can answer whether your animal at home is, let's say, having house training problems or digging in the yard. They'll be able to give you some advice on for your new pet and even animals that you have in your home. And a big thing is Hillsborough County Animal Services, if you adopt that day, they're waiving the license fee. You'll get a free license.
Wow. So yeah. You get the those exams and other things free.
Yes.
And they waive the license fee.
Yes.
And the sounds like a deal to me.
You know what? The adoption package we have, and I'll just speak about ours, I mean, for $75 for a large dog, you get it's spayed or neutered, it gets its shots, flea treatment, heartworm check, microchipped, all that for $75. You can't beat it. It's a great adoption package, and it's $125 for small little dogs here like Irving here.
Wow. And I guess let me first just let our listeners know again, this is Talking Animals. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Sherry Silk, Executive Director of the Humane Society of Tampa Bay. If you'd like to join the conversation, ask Sherry a question, please call 813-239-9663 or can email us at dj@wmnf.org. Now, sort of on a related note, just because I thought this was really cool, can you talk a little bit about the mobile adoption center?
Yes. We call it our MAC unit, and it's basically a 32-foot Winnebago, and we go out to different events, the boat show down at the convention center, let's say, or just whatever. Sometimes we'll just go to the local Petco or pet supermarkets, and we park this mobile unit, if you will, and we usually have around 20 to 25 animals on it, dogs, puppies, and some kittens, and you can adopt really in your own neighborhood. Even though our shelter is a no-kill shelter, and I think we do a really good job of making it user-friendly, some people just find it too sad to come in and see animals in cages. So it's a way to adopt an animal, save a life, but not have to go visit a shelter.
Wow. Okay. So it's that, and it's bringing sort of the mountain to Muhammad, really.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's so that's so cool. Yeah. I mean, when I saw it, wow, that is great. Now, what kind of issue is the gas prices and stuff? Do you find yourselves limiting it's, when you'll use MAC more?
Yeah. You are absolutely right. We were going out every weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and we have limited. We used to go out just for the good PR. It's all decked out with Humane Society of Tampa Bay and everything, so it's like a rolling billboard. But we have to make sure it's going to be well attended and that we'll do enough adoptions to make it worth our while because it's very, very cost prohibitive.
Yeah.
We have to run the generator to keep the air conditioner going. And we get, I think it's like 5 miles to gallon, something like that. It's crazy. So we do have to limit it because we have to be judicious with our donated dollars.
Absolutely. And I want to come back to financial and fundraising matters in a moment. But I'm itching now to meet Irving and George. So can we find out a little bit more? I mean, Irving, I should say, or you can describe, Sherry, I mean, is the cute Chihuahua and how old the guy is?
He's just over a year. Well, actually, no, he's 6 months old. But let me tell you a little bit about him. Because of our partnership, he was a cruelty case. There was a kind of a hoarder situation that Hillsborough County Animal Services handled, and there were many small dogs, and this person was convicted of cruelty to animals even prior to this and is now actually in jail. That's a good thing. Irving was very, very debilitated, very skinny. You can see now he's beefed up, and he's a little on the shy side just because he hasn't been really socialized. He's a purebred, long-haired Chihuahua, not house-trained yet because he was just kept in a crate and not allowed to be like a dog
kind of thing. Yeah.
But he can learn, and he's just a really sweetheart. There's quite a few of these small dogs that are going to be available for adoption at our shelter, actually today and tomorrow. And then, let me see, sometimes it's nice if they can purr into the microphone. This is George, which is a great name. Now, George is like probably the other 15 black cats we have. I happen to have a black cat at home. And can you hear that?
Oh, my God.
Is that good?
I thought that was a trick.
No.
I thought somebody was a ventriloquist in the room, but that's
this
incredible.
This is the real deal.
Wow. Because we have a gigantic, formerly feral cat that purrs like that. But I should say, again, for people listening, George is, well, how old is George? He's
George
tiny.
George is, let me see, George is about 2.5 months of age.
Wow.
And he's kind of a medium hair, all black cat. And let me tell you, it's hard. If our cats are really, sometimes we have cats that are there 6 and 7 months at a time in a cage. Mm. So, you know, cats are hard because they're easy to come by. But again, you look at that adoption package, he's already been neutered and he's had his shots and he has a microchip and he really would love to go home to somebody.
Absolutely. And boy, he looks ready and very, very cute. And let me ask you this, because I mean, we, among others that we have at home, we have a couple of black cats. Is that true that black cats are often the last to be adopted?
That's absolutely true, and it's not just at the Humane Society of Tampa Bay. It's nationally.
Yeah.
Black cats, and there's something called black dog syndrome. Don't know if you've heard of that, but
yeah,
the big black dogs are also the last to go. But something about the color black in animals, I don't know if it just puts people off or that they're so plentiful, very, very difficult to adopt.
Wow. All right. Well, all the more than somebody should now. So in contrast to the expo that we talked about, if someone listening says, hey, this George sounds cool, how do I do that? Do you just come into
our shelter
and
today.
Where are you guys located?
3607 Armenia. We're really not that far from
yeah.
you.
Despite the bad directions.
Despite the bad directions.
Yeah, Google Maps. Yeah.
Yeah, I ended up downtown looking for the station. That wasn't working. Let me just give you the adoption hours. Tuesday and Wednesday, we're open 12 to 7. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 10 to 4:30, and Sunday, 12 to 4. And I should say Tuesday and Wednesday, it's still 7:30, but adoptions stop at 7. And we do that, open 6 days a week, because we want to make it convenient for people. We're open 2 evenings a week, plus Saturday and Sunday.
That's
we try
great.
To do everything we can so that people don't have an excuse to come
not
and see
not to
us.
Do it. Yeah,
absolutely.
And again, even for some reason that doesn't work, eventually they might drive over
that's
in the
right.
Mac if you play your cards right. Yeah,
that's right.
Well, we've got a couple of email questions. We may not get some calls, but
sure.
Let me ask read one of these emails to you, Sherry. This one says, this emailer says, I just got a new kitten from a friend about 2 months old. It has no shots, has not been fixed, and needs to be registered. What is the best way to get all these things taken care of on a relatively low budget?
Oh, you know, we get calls like that a lot. You need to visit the Humane Society of Tampa Bay. We have a spay-neuter clinic, and for $40, and I'm not kidding you, $40, we will spay or neuter your kitty, and then there is an additional charge for shots, $10 for the shots. We can do feline leukemia testing. We keep it low so people can have it done. And at that time, once your animal has a rabies shot, we can also sell you a license as well.
Wow, that's cool. And if George keeps purring like that, I might put him in my pocket and take him home.
I'd love
yeah.
that. That would be good.
It was a long drive for George back if he had to go to the Jupiter Farms, but I might consider it. Here's another emailer saying, Sherry, I love the Humane Society and especially the no-kill idea, but what is the percentage of animals turned away because of the no-kill element, and why can't we have more adoption days by advertising and taking the mobile unit out with the animals? The last part of which I think we sort of addressed, but go ahead,
right.
Sherry.
Well, I mean, and that is the downside to no-kill facilities. You're right. We can't take in animals, and we do turn animals away. We take ones that we know people will adopt, the young ones, the healthy ones. If someone, for example, brings me a 12-year-old cat and doesn't want it anymore, I'm not going to be able to put that cat up for adoption. Because it'll just sit there forever. People don't want to adopt 12-year-old cats.
And where does that sorry to interrupt,
yeah, Sherry, sure.
But where does that cat in that hypothetical go if you guys can't take
it? It's going to go to if you can't find a home for relatives or neighbors or friends or whatever, it's going to go to Hillsborough County Animal Services, and they're going to euthanize the cat. It's
wow.
very hard to find homes for older or animals, especially for cats. And so that's why we want to be good citizens, and that's why we drive to animal services every week and pick the animals out so we can help them out by not doing euthanasia. So we do turn animals away. I will tell you, we have over 150 people waiting on our waiting list to come into our shelter. People want to bring them to us because we don't euthanize them. But if we don't have room, you know, then they have to wait. So that's the downside.
That's what that was. Is people who are saying, I can no longer, for whatever reason,
yes.
have my cat or dog
yes.
with me. Can you guys take
can
them?
You take
yeah.
it? And we, like I said, we take as many as we can. What we're finding with this terrible, terrible economy, you know, we ask people to call and make an appointment. But now what we're finding are boxes of kittens or cats. We've had a couple dogs thrown in our volunteer dog yards, play yards, and we find them in the morning. People just are desperate, and they're just, you know, basically throwing them over the fence, which is, you know, which is not good.
And let me just again remind listeners, this is you're listening to Sherry Silk, the Executive Director of the Humane Society of Tampa Bay. If you'd like to join the conversation or ask a question or email a question, you can call 813-239-9663, or the email address is dj@wmnf.org. This is Talking Animals on WMNF. So let me, I guess, in light of what we're talking about, in light of President-elect Barack Obama, this seems kind of relevant. Why, let me just sort of ask a purposely stupid question. Why is it important to adopt animals, I mean, or versus buy? The reason I bring this up partly related to Obama is there was a big campaign within his campaign, or addressed at his campaign, to make sure that the puppy he promised the two little girls would be adopted as opposed to purchased. And he's Michelle, I guess, finally said that's indeed what's going to happen.
I signed that petition where employees
same here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And when I heard him say a puppy, I was happy, but I hope he's also going to adopt a cat too, you know? Let's hope. We'll see.
I hear another petition brewing. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's important because, well, first of all, we all know that animals need us, and we get a lot more, I think, from them than they get from us, frankly. There's nothing like unconditional love if you haven't had a pet. When you've had a hard day, you come home and your cat comes up to you and sits on your lap, or your dog's happy to see you. I mean, I can't imagine my life without animals. I've learned a lot from them, and they certainly add so much to my life. But what happens is there's a big part of our community that, you know, for a lot of reasons, aren't committed to those animals, and they end up turning them into shelters. And I just believe they need a second chance. So why go to a pet store? And number one, you're supporting puppy mills, which I think we all know what those are. Those are inhumane ways of raising purebred puppies. Why do that and just for the money when you can go to a shelter and get a lovely puppy or a dog and not support the puppy mills? And plus, you're saving a life.
I think that answers my pretend stupid question very well.
Okay.
So hopefully pretend. Okay, we've got yet another email question and a caller we're going to try to get to as well. But our email question says, there's a beautiful but injured cat who keeps showing up on my porch. I worry about him as he looks like he has an abscess. What should I do?
Well, I guess it depends if she's going to take responsibility for that cat. If she's going to take responsibility, it needs to go to a veterinarian, because if it's an abscess, it probably needs a shot or at least some pills, some antibiotics. Abscesses can go away on their own, but sometimes they don't, and it can be very, very painful for the cat. If you're not going to keep it on your own, if you can pick it up safely, and if you can't, you should trap it. And we can talk briefly about TNR. You need to take it to animal services. All the strays go there because that's where people look for their pets. So maybe this isn't, if it's a nice cat, could be the neighbors down the street, and they'll go to animal services to look for their animal. So I would really stress, if she's not going to keep it, to take it there.
Okay, cool. Because I did leave out, I didn't scroll down far enough, because she said, I have three cats. I can't afford to take it to the vet. So she also says hi to George. All right, let's take a call. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Sherry Silk. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead, please.
What I'd like to find out is my wife is interested in adopting Warlock Dobies, or Lord of Dobermans.
Oh, good.
And it's a large black dog, and it's exactly the type of dog that Sherry was speaking about, saying that, you know, it's awful hard to adopt.
Yes.
Is there any way that I can get myself onto a future lookup? Thank you very much. Somebody email me when you have a problem with this person has one, and it's even middle-aged. It doesn't matter. My wife has a great way with animals.
Well, let me tell you. First of all, I have Dobermans myself. They're a very big misunderstood breed, and they're wonderful dogs. They're one of my favorite breeds. If you go on something called petfinder.com,
yes, ma'am,
you can type in your zip code and how far you're willing to drive, 50 miles, let's say, and every Doberman that's in that area at all the different rescue groups and shelters will pop up on the screen. And I'll tell you, people like to shop for their animals online, so that's what I would suggest you do. There may be one in the next county waiting for you to adopt.
And that is petfinder.com.
Petfinder.com. It's an amazing search engine for pets. And plus, they also have all kinds of tips on training and other things as well.
I just joined the conversation. I just started picking you guys up about maybe 20 minutes ago. Is there a website for your site up there in Tampa, Sherry?
I'm so glad you asked. www.humanesocietytampa.org.
HumaneSocietyTampa.org.
Yes.
.org.
Yes, we're very proud of that website. We just redid it, and it's all kinds of great information.
Website.
Thank you.
I meant to plug it earlier.
I thank you very much for your service.
Okay, good luck shopping.
Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for the call. And Sherry, since we're sort of nearing the end of our time somehow, I wanted to at least make sure we talked about just the economy, the economic sort of crisis and the impact, the ripple effects that that's having in the animal community, animal welfare community.
Let me quickly say that because so many people are turning their animals because of the economy, that's one issue. We are also getting calls about 3 or 4 months ago, people saying, hey, I just can't afford to feed my animal. Can you help me out? So the Humane Society of Tampa Bay has a free food assistance program, and if you have a dog or cat that you're able to keep because you still have, you know, a place to keep your animal, come visit our shelter, no questions asked, and we were going to give you some dog and cat food so you can keep your animal in the home. This is an all-volunteer effort. We don't pay for it out of donated funds. We get it from volunteers, members. We go to some of the Walmart stores and Target stores and take their broken bags and tape them up. But I'll tell you, we are getting hundreds of people every month coming in just to get a bag of dog or cat food because they do not want to give up their pet.
Wow, that's a great program. Is there other things that one of the things we talked about on the show, unfortunately, too, is just home foreclosures, and sometimes
yes.
people are leaving their animals behind in those
yes.
situations because they're in such dire straits.
Yes, abandonments are up. I mean, I know Animal Services gets many calls. I mean, if you have to leave your home, please don't leave your animal behind because maybe it'll get saved in time, maybe it won't. Maybe it'll die of starvation or dehydration if you just shut the door and leave. I mean, to me, a humane death is much better than a death like that. I've seen that for many years. If you can't keep your animal and you can't find it a home, take it to Animal Services or call us and see if we have room. Don't just leave it behind or don't put it out on the street. They do not fare well out on the street on their own.
All right, and if, somehow we have just about reached the end, but let me quickly ask, how is the Humane Society of Tampa Bay's work funded?
It's through donations and our programs, of course. You know, we make a little bit of money on our adoptions and our surgeries. We're always looking for donations, and if you check our website, if you are so moved, I mean, you know, whether you want to give us $5 or $25 or whatever, I can tell you that your money is going to go to help the animals. We just won the 2008 Tampa Bay Journal Nonprofit of the Year, because we do good things with our money, and we would love the support, of course.
For fiduciary responsibility, if I'm not mistaken.
My mind
yeah.
just went blank. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to help out. All right,
thank
well, gosh, you know what? Against my better judgment, just because I want to see, I'm going to take one more call as long as this caller.
Okay.
Hi, you're on the Sherry Silk and Talking Animals. I just ask that you keep your question very brief.
Yeah, I don't really have a question. It's just the question of leaving my animal if I had to leave my own. That's completely out of the question. I just hope in time in the near future there's going to be more, you know, like say more laws are tougher on people that chain up their dogs or put them inside of little kennels yeah. where they can't get any exercise, and that's where they spend their entire life. Now, I'm sick of animal control officers saying that such abuse like that is not abuse. That's all I wanted to say.
All right. Thanks so much for your call. I don't know if you want to briefly.
Well, maybe you can have me back sometime. We can talk about all the cruelty
yeah.
laws and things. Because obviously, there's a lot of cities and municipalities are outlawing chaining your dog 24/7. It's a terrible thing for a dog to live at the end of a chain. And I could go on my soapbox for minutes and minutes for that. So we'll do that next time.
Absolutely. And among other things, we'll hopefully also cover is the train program, which
Absolutely.
I was just really taken with. And I'm sorry, we're just out of time. So again, this is Sherry Silk for the Executive Director of the Humane Society, and the website is humanesocietytampa.org. Again, a great, great website with all kinds of information and resources, and there's only hit the tip of the proverbial iceberg of all the programs and services they provide. So, Sherry, thanks, and thanks to everybody.
Thank you.
And thanks to George and Irving. And
hopefully they'll get
a home
today.
They have homes, exactly. Right.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Well, this is Talking Animals, and the show website is talkinganimals.net. That I hope you visit to sign up for our email newsletter, subscribe to our podcast, check out our MySpace. We're looking for some friends just like you. It's all found on talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. There'll be a prize, a spiffy Talking Animals baseball jersey, to the first person who calls in at 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal tune. It's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals. All right, we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals. The program airs twice a month, specifically the first and second Wednesday of each month. So we'll return again next Wednesday, November 12th at 11:30 a.m., and I hope you'll join me then. Again, our website is talkinganimals.net. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to others. Be kind to animals. Be kind to yourself. And as always, we're closing out today's show with an animal tune. It's from a local band, in fact, Sunset Bridge, with a tune called Good Old Dog, right here on WMNF Tampa.
You used to be all about me. Now I'm much older than before, and my balls hang to the floor. I won't let you forget about me. So I left you a treat stuck on the bottom of your feet. What did you feed me? You used to let me sleep in your bed, but now instead of me is the man of your dreams, and now I'm sleeping under the trees. Ooh, I'm laying in the leaves. We are probably for you, and when you open